The Lake Winnebago waterway system holds the largest single concentration of sturgeon in the world. They're a fascinating fish. Larry Mueller here. We're going to be talking about that fish in the upcoming Sturgeon Spectacular with my two guests, Kathleen Schmidt-Klein and Craig Molitor. Kathleen is an outreach coordinator at the University of Wisconsin Sea Grant Institute. And she is one of the authors of a book that I love. It's called People of the Sturgeon, Wisconsin's Love Affair with an Ancient Fish. And Kathleen, welcome back. Great to have you with us.
Thanks so much, Larry. Happy to be here.
With us as well, Craig is the, Craig Molitor, I should say, is the president of the Fond du Lac Convention Center and Visitors Bureau. And Craig, great to have you back.
It's always an honor to be sitting here with you and Kathy, so it's great to be here.
Well, I'm great to have you back. And we're going to be talking about sturgeon and about this upcoming big event relating that sort of features sturgeon and the area, the Lake Winnebago area, with our two guests. And I hope you'll join in. Maybe you were a sturgeon fisherman. Maybe you have questions about sturgeon. Maybe you have questions about the upcoming Sturgeon Spectacular. It's in Fond du Lac and runs from February 9th through the 11th. And Craig's certainly going to be talking more about that as we move along today. The number to call is 1-800-642-1234. You can email us. The email address is ideas@wpr.org, or go ahead and post on our Facebook page. Love to hear from you. Kathleen, before we talk about sturgeon, what's new in the Sea Grant Institute these days?
Well, we're still funding Great Lakes research, and we're still doing outreach and education on Great Lakes science. So we're still keeping at it with the Great Lakes.
All right. Well, the sturgeon spearing season on Lake Winnebago and the Upper Lakes starts on the 10th, if I'm not mistaken.
You are correct.
How is the temperatures been a little colder? Has that had any effect on will it have an effect on the season this year?
Yeah, it's always hard to say, but I will tell you that I greeted yesterday's long-term weather forecast with a big smile. I've heard that we're in for an extended cold snap, and I think, as I said, that's music to my ears. So, you know, folks get out there on the ice, and all winter long, we go by the statement that there is no such thing as safe ice. So we always encourage folks to know what they're doing, be with folks that know what they're doing, mm-hmm. and approach the situation with great caution. But I will tell you this, we work with folks that host an ice kiting event as part of the Sturgeon Spectacular Festival. This is their 29th year of an ice kiting race on Lake Winnebago, and they have never ever missed a year due to lack of ice. So it'll happen. It's a little nervous making, but the lake will be frozen. Right now, even where there are some dicey areas, most of the ice is at about 18 inches thick. So,
and I am now knocking on wood now that Craig has said all of that.
That's my head, not the table. What's going on?
Well, it's going to be a fun event, and we'll talk some more about it. Let's talk about sturgeon just in general here to begin with. What species? They're an ancient fish, aren't they?
Yeah. They are an ancient fish. They've been around for about 150 million years. They've been living in the Great Lakes, and they've been around since before the Great Lakes formed. So they're a pretty special fish that we have here in Wisconsin, and having this population in Lake Winnebago is just phenomenal. It's wonderful to have a whole weekend sort of paying homage to the lake sturgeon in Fond du Lac.
Yeah, I love the way you say that, because it is an homage to this fish, and the fact that we have such a healthy population, I think it's safe to say. So the festival, we've planned all kinds of fun, goofy, athletic stuff around it, but it always does come down to the fish. That's why I love this opportunity to be here with you two, because I learn about the fish itself, the basis for this festival. So
yeah, and it's it's amazing and maybe a little surprising that we have such a concentration of sturgeon in that area. And part of how that came about, I think, involves DNR and other folks who really wanted to make that sturgeon population sustaining and self-sustaining.
That's really one of the main stories in the book that, that I wrote with my two co-authors, Ron Brook and Fred Binkowski. Really, it's called People of the Sturgeon because there are so many people who are dedicated to this fish in Wisconsin that have protected them, have been able to sustain them in Lake Winnebago, and now all the science that's been going on in Wisconsin surrounding Lake Sturgeon has really been used to help restore Lake Sturgeon in the Great Lakes, throughout the Great Lakes. So it is a pretty special story. We've been managing Lake Sturgeon in Wisconsin for over 100 years, and that's why we have this population. They're very long-lived fish. They don't, the females don't spawn until they're in their mid-20s. So it's a very unique fish for fishery managers to manage. They have to keep these fish going alive and happy until their mid-20s, until you can get that next next generation of sturgeon coming. So it's only because we've been managing and protecting them for so long that we have this population today.
And, you know, 100 years ago, we weren't about a lot of species, animals and so forth. We weren't, we didn't have protection thoughts. You wonder what it was that caused this work to start 100 years ago.
I think because they're such a unique fish, they're very different from other fish. They look like a dinosaur fish. That's what people like to call them because they have been around since the dinosaurs. They're not a modern fish. They don't have scales. They have these bony scutes all along their body. They have a very tough skin, and they don't have any teeth. They just kind of cruise around on the bottom of Lake Winnebago looking for things to suck up with their mouth. So they're a very different type of fish, and I think when they started disappearing in different waters of Wisconsin, people took notice.
Oh. And they reach because how long do they live?
They can live over 100 years. The oldest one that the DNR has tagged, they think was about 124 years old.
Unbelievable.
Isn't that unbelievable?
Yeah.
Oh, it's stunning. And then in terms of their size, when you live that long.
Well, look at me. I mean,
well, some of us start shrinking after we get a certain age, but that doesn't seem to be necessarily true of sturgeon. And I know the sturgeon spearing, there are some pretty big fish that come in.
I think last year, the 2017 season, there were several of them, maybe 6 to 8 of them that were all over 140 pounds.
I mean, that's massive. That is a human being sized fish.
And it takes a lot of effort and stamina to be able to get that fish out of the water, actually, right. With a spear.
Yeah.
There's a lot of adrenaline going on, I think, with sturgeon spearing.
Very true.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, David and Slinger has something for us. Let's go there. Hi, David. Thanks for calling.
Yes, I have two questions. One is the mouth of the Columbia River, there are sturgeon. So I always thought that was sturgeon territory. Is that a subspecies? And then the other is, I heard a story that they were transporting sturgeon. The truck broke down, so they dumped them into Big Cedar Lake. And Big Cedar Lake in Washington County has sturgeon for that reason. Can you confirm that?
That
sounds apocryphal, doesn't it?
Yeah, it sounds like a apocryphal to me.
I love it, though.
That's a new one for me. I have not heard that story of the truck breaking down, but I love it. So I'm not sure about that. As far as the Columbia River goes, there are several different species of sturgeon, and that would probably be the white sturgeon that's out there. That sturgeon gets to be over 20 feet long. They are gigantic, gigantic fish. So that's a cousin of our lake sturgeon, but a different type of sturgeon. And as far as that, the truck breaking down, there are sturgeon in different waters of Wisconsin that did get there kind of by accident. Our best thought on the Madison Lakes, Wingra, well, actually they've been seen in Mendota and Monona. lake sturgeon living in Lake Monona and Lake Mendota. They probably arrived in the early 1900s when there was a lot of fish stocking going on. The different DNRs of Iowa and Wisconsin, they would rescue a lot of fish from the Mississippi River when the water would go down in the summer, and then they would use those fish to stock different waters. So we think that the sturgeon in the Madison Lakes, at least, did get here by accident. Not necessarily the truck breaking down, but it was an on-purpose thing.
Just a really different approach to wildlife management in the past, right?
Yeah. Well, there was a lot of
fish. Or lack thereof, maybe.
It was free fish for the taking, so they thought, why not rescue these fish and move them around the state?
Probably a good thing. I was flashing back to a friend of mine who was scuba diving once in Madison, or learning how to scuba dive, and the group of people, I don't know if there were 10 or whatever in the group, they, on their first dive down, the instructor took them down, and they were all in a circle in about 10 feet of water, or 15 feet. And while they were all standing, it was, you know, kind of standing there in that circle underwater, about a 5-foot sturgeon.
No kidding.
Swam into the middle of the circle, and he said, people quickly dispersed to the surface.
Right. If you don't know what's happening and you don't know about that fish, it's really a stunning beast. I mean, and I don't mean the beast in a derogatory way. It's just a big animal.
And they are very curious fish. So, a circle of divers down there would probably be interesting to a sturgeon to check out. So,
I heard that the diving story also happened on Big Cedar Lake. Somebody got down there, and all of a sudden they were face to face with this monster fish.
Well, that caused you to think about life.
Does, thankfully, right? Though, they do not have any teeth.
They're not going to attack.
Gentle fish.
There we go. David, thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. You can join in, too. Number to call, 800-642-1234. And just to go back to your book for a minute, The book itself is still in print and still being sold.
Yes, yep, published by the Wisconsin Historical Society Press.
It is a beautiful book. The history of the sturgeon is wonderful. It's wonderfully written. And then the photography, the photos are unbelievable.
Yes, that was our photographer, Bob Rashid. He went with us basically everywhere to chronicle everything about the sturgeon. He really enjoyed working on that project. It was his last project. He passed away, but he really, really enjoyed it.
We are going to talk some more about sturgeon and about that upcoming event right after this look at the news. Stay with us. Thanks so much for joining us here on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here, and we're talking about sturgeon in Wisconsin today. And the great event, the Sturgeon Spectacular, it's called, be held in Fond du Lac, runs February 9th through the 11th. And we'll talk about a lot of the fun things that are going to happen at that event. And we'll talk about sturgeon with our two guests, Kathleen Schmidt-Klein and Craig Molitor, Kathleen, Outreach Coordinator at the UW Sea Grant Institute, Craig, President of the Fond du Lac Convention Center and Visitors Bureau. Join in. The lines are all filled right now, but the number is 1-800-642-1234. Email us at ideas@wpr.org or post on our Facebook page. And you know what? Claire in Wausau has been waiting a bit, so let's just go there now. Claire, hi. Thank you for waiting.
Oh, thank you so much for taking my call. Love the show. I'm just calling to see if you guys are aware of Michigan Tech University's research department, where we've got a Chinese friend that we've kind of taken under our wing, and he's been working in biomedical engineering. But the last thing he was working on last summer was working with mussels that have the chemical in them that keeps their shell closed is dopamine. This dopamine is used now, the exact science behind it, I'm not quite sure, of course, but it is now being used to adhere cameras and things to the body of a sturgeon. So I was wondering if you guys had ever heard of this. Now, of course, they're using it in military operations also, but then this way you don't have to penetrate the body of the animal or, of course, the equipment. But the way they release the chemical once it's adhered to the body is through electrical current. Are you aware of this? Have you heard of this? I just think it's so fascinating. I had to call.
Cameras on sturgeon.
I'm looking at Kathy because I'm fascinated too.
Yeah. No, I haven't heard about this, Claire. That sounds really cool. So it's a way to put cameras on the sturgeon so that you, like a GoPro, so you could see what the sturgeon is seeing.
Right. Right. Exactly.
That is awesome.
Yeah, that's right.
Somebody, Claire, stay listening, and somebody else will probably call in and say, "Oh, I know all about that." Let us know about it. So stay listening. Thanks. That's interesting, for sure. Well, Rich in Two Rivers, what's on your mind? Hi, Rich.
Yeah. Hi. How are you doing?
Great. Appreciate the call.
Yeah. I have a question. There's a friend. He's a long time gone. He was a sturgeon. That's all he fished for was sturgeon on the St. Croix. And he told me that sturgeon are vegetarians eating almost vertical off their bottom for 9 months out of the year. And then for 3 months, they eat live minnows and whatever live food they can find. And I didn't know how accurate he was. And so that's why I'm asking your guests.
Okay.
I wish one of my co-authors were here because they're the biologists and I was the science writer on the project. I haven't heard that before about them sort of splitting up their feeding like that during the year. I do know that they're not super specific feeders, that they'll kind of go for whatever they're finding. They do like lake fly larvae, and they also like gizzard shad as well. But other crustaceans and things like that are on the bottom of the lake, they'll go for that too. So I'm not familiar with that.
I know when and this is probably well known by a lot of folks in your audience, but I know when the folks go out to scout the best place to put the shanties, right, they're looking for, I believe, the red worms on the bottom.
That's right.
Where the red worms are on the bottom of the lake, because that's where the sturgeon comes, so they put the shanty above that. But
interesting.
I also want to give a shout out to gizzard shad. That's one of my one of my favorite after dinner aperitifs. So.
Well, Craig, on that note, I think you've earned the chance to talk about the event that's coming up, the Sturgeon Spectacular, the 9th through the 11th. Before we go back to the phones, talk about there's so many things going on those few days.
That's right. Thanks. I got to bring it back to the book, People of the Sturgeon, right? Is that the proper name?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. Sure.
7 years ago when I moved here from Michigan, lower Michigan, I came across this book. We had it at the Visitors Bureau where I work, and it's just a gorgeous book. It's literally
gorgeous.
A coffee table style book. So whether you like sturgeon or gizzard shad, whatever, this is a book that would be a great addition to any household just because it's so pretty to look at and interesting, full of facts. But I looked at it. I gained this knowledge very quickly that the sturgeon spearing phenomenon is something very, very unique to the Lake Winnebago region.
Yeah.
Right. Now, I'm not a scientist, so I speak in general terms, but this is something very special. I'm in the tourism industry, so naturally, I'm kind of looking for a hook, no pun intended,
tie-in
to market our community. And it turns out that midwinter is a great time to try to generate more tourism traffic. So here I am in Fond du Lac, Wisconsin, on the southern tip of Lake Winnebago, this massive lake, and the sturgeon spearing phenomenon is what we're drawn to as this idea where we can build a festival around. We're not necessarily trying to get more sturgeon spearers, although that's fine. That's awesome. I love the process because it's very family centric. It's like deer camp, only instead of a guy's night out or a guy's weekend, it's family.
Yeah.
And so that's what I love about it. And there's quirkiness and there's tradition and history and a little bit of polka music. So we built this festival around it. So the festival always happens. This is the third year, so always happens on the second weekend in February. That's the sturgeon spearing season opening weekend. Friday night of this year, we're going to have a kickoff parade. We're going to have an opening concert at our downtown arts center called Thelma Sadoff Center for the Arts. So parade, concert, Saturday, and throughout the weekend, we're going to have the Wisconsin State Snow Sculpting Association. Downtown, we're going to have snow sculpting and ice sculpting. At the park, which is on the shores of Lake Winnebago, we're going to have softball. We're going to have fat tire bike race. We're going to have a statewide girls hockey tournament. We're going to have a closing tournament Saturday night of the two major high schools in the area. It's an alumni grudge match, mm-hmm. right? And then we're going to close with a concert by a group called Boogie and the Yo-Yos. Boogie and the Yo-Yos is this now storied band in the region. They bring out the crowds. We're teaming up with the Children's Museum, so we're going to have activities for children. In Sunday, we're going to do it all over again with all of these activities. We're going to have Guys on Ice performing their three-person Broadway-style show.
It's a great show.
It really is. We're going to bring in comedy improv troupe from Milwaukee to do shows throughout the weekend, also at Thelma. There is stuff upon stuff upon stuff. You can come with your buddy, or you can come with your partner. You can come with your family, and there's going to be something there. And it's activities all weekend. And FDL.com, FDL/SS.com. Check it out. Tons of information.
Yeah, and it is a lot of fun. Judy and Racine has something for us, so let's go there. Hi, Judy.
Hi. I just have to tell you, first of all, that I'm 76, and this is a story about my grandpa, so it happened a long time ago. But there was always this picture of grandpa and his friend holding the sturgeon, which was as big as they were, and it was a pretty impressive picture, but they could never brag about it because when they got home, they realized they had caught it the day before the season opened.
Whoa.
A collective groan. But that's how many years ago, right? I mean, there's a statute of limitations.
Right. I thought I was safe.
There you go.
Thanks, Judy. And actually, there are, just to go along with that, there are watches, if I'm not mistaken, to kind of protect the sturgeon. In this case, in Judy's case, I think it was probably an accident, but there are others who where it might not be an accident. Kathy, maybe you can talk about that.
There is, and I'm not saying that Judy's grandpa was doing this, but there is a long history of poaching with sturgeon, and so sturgeon almost went extinct in the Great Lakes from overfishing, from habitat decline. People started bringing them back, but then poaching really started to become an issue because sturgeon eggs are caviar, and you can make a lot of money off of caviar if you want, and people did, especially in the 20s and the 30s. So the poaching problem went on, and then the DNR, together with a citizen group that's around Lake Winnebago called Sturgeon for Tomorrow, they helped institute something called Sturgeon Guard or Sturgeon Patrol. So in the spring, when the sturgeon run upriver to spawn, they're very susceptible to being able to, you can just basically grab them out of the water. They have other things on their minds, so they're not really paying attention to people trying to pull them out of the water. So people volunteer to do a 12-hour shift, and they basically just stand along the banks of the Wolf River and some other rivers to just deter anybody from trying to illegally take a sturgeon.
Yeah, that's very, very cool.
Sturgeon, I'm sorry, I just wanted to give another joint shout out to Sturgeon for Tomorrow. These folks are so dedicated and have such love for outdoor lifestyle, right? And sturgeon specifically, I think they take a huge amount of credit, along with the DNR,
exactly,
for rescuing this species. And again, I don't think we'd be able to celebrate this activity if the sturgeon were an endangered species, but they are flourishing and healthy in our region.
Yes,
so.
And you're right. Sturgeon for Tomorrow is a huge part of that story.
Right.
And, you know, there are, you know, fish limits and so forth, but with sturgeon, there are some pretty strict guidelines in terms of how many can be taken each year and so forth.
That's right. The DNR sets a harvest cap for Lake Winnebago every year. And the only way you can legally take a sturgeon out of Lake Winnebago is during the winter spearing season. So you have to go out on the ice and cut a hole and put a shanty over it and take out a spear. You can't fish for one. You can't use anything else but a spear. And they're about 7 feet long. And you have to wait there for a sturgeon to swim by your hole and then throw a spear at it and then pull it out of the water. So that's the only way you can legally do it. And the DNR has a very, very robust data set on how many sturgeon are in the Winnebago system. So every year they set a harvest cap. And if that harvest cap is met, then the spearing season shuts down.
Yeah, it's one of those interesting seasons where we know when it starts, but we don't know when
exactly.
It's going to end.
Exactly. That's very true. We also, we teamed up with a documentarian who made an awesome documentary a couple of years back now, and it's called Frozen Chosen. Mm-hmm. And it's he's an award-winning documentarian, and you can find that on Netflix. And it's mm-hmm. a really, really sweet look at the sturgeon spearing phenomena. He concentrates his efforts on a family from the west coast of Lake Winnebago and the east coast of Lake Winnebago. And I think it's a two-year process that he went through to do this. And I tell you what, if you're not laughing and occasionally literally welling up from the sort of the family kind of stories that are happening on the screen, you're an insensitive person. So Frozen Chosen, and you can find it on Netflix.
Let's go to Bob in Crivets next. Bob, hi, thank you for calling.
Thank you. Okay, I've worked with the Sturgeon Patrol for about 8 years, my wife and I. Okay, but I want to tell you about a place in Minocqua area. I also go muskie fishing a lot. And I was sitting at Cross Trails Restaurant. The weather was really lousy. Okay, and I drove over to Lac da Flama. There was an article in there. And if you go into the city of Lac da Flama, it was in the community center. Now it's in the library. There's a sturgeon mounted that's 7'1", 196 pounds. There's a 40-inch muskie on the wall next to it. It looks like a minnow. Okay, and two young Indians kids caught this on hook and line. It took them 3.5 hours to mount it, and the city paid to have this thing mounted. So,
very cool.
You know, I've heard about that sturgeon, and I am kicking myself because I was just in Minocqua over the weekend, and I should have popped over there to take a look at it.
And where was it again? It
was in Lac da Flambeau, right?
Yeah.
Okay, it's in the city, village of Lac da Flambeau. It's only 17 miles to the west of Woodruff.
Yeah.
And it's just a massive. I worked on the muskie thing with those people, Muskie Patrol, for 8 years, my wife and I.
Well, thanks for your service. I mean, I'm a tourism guy, right? But I know that I rely on the state's natural resources, and to have folks like you out there paying attention to what needs to be done and what shouldn't be done, we appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you so much for calling, Bob. Appreciate it. And Tim in Green Bay, give you a chance now. Hi, Tim.
Hello.
What's on your mind?
I was fishing under the dam on the Menominee River, Marinette, and I've caught a lot of sturgeon and seen a lot of sturgeon. And usually they're about 3 to 5 feet. But a couple years ago, I was fishing for walleye down there, and this sturgeon just rose out of the water, and it was at least 12 feet long, and it was round, like 2 feet around. And most of the sturgeon have like a shoveled nose. This one was round like a torpedo. Does that shovel nose go away when they get older? I mean, this fish probably weighed 800-900 pounds.
Oh, holy cow.
You might have been, you know, I've had the muskies that I miss are almost always bigger than the ones I catch.
I think Hemingway would like this story, too.
Yeah. No, this is great, Tim. Okay, so there are two types of sturgeon in Wisconsin. There's the lake sturgeon, and that's what we're talking about in Lake Winnebago. There's also a shovel nose sturgeon, and that's found mostly in the Mississippi River, Wisconsin River, a couple other rivers. I'm not sure. I don't think that the shovel nose, though, are found over there in the Menominee. I think it would be lake sturgeon. But lake sturgeon do look a little different as they age. So the younger ones aren't quite as round and torpedo-like as the older ones. So I would love to talk to you more about your story.
Yeah, that's a.
There are historical accounts, you know, in the old newspapers of sturgeon 9, 10, 11, 12 feet long in the Great Lakes.
Wow.
Well, it'd be something to see. And I know some of the northern lakes that I've fished in, and kind of the Hayward and east of Hayward, you'll be fishing and a sturgeon will come out of the water and pop nearby. And it's always an eye-opening experience.
Right,
it's
like
porpoise. I can tell you that for sure.
Yeah, they porpoise and they make quite an impression on you, I've heard. Yeah,
yeah, and they're kind of noisy too. they make a big splash. Oh my goodness me! Well, what are some unusual before we? Well, maybe let's just go to Dave and Augusta. I was going to go away for a minute, but let's go there. Dave, hi! Thanks for calling. We're not hearing Dave. We're losing him, but he has a comment or a question about decoys, and we didn't bring that up. Dave, I'm sorry we can't hear you, so we're just going to go with the decoy side of sturgeon fishing and spearing.
Sure. We have several pages in the People of the Sturgeon book with some beautiful photographs of sturgeon decoys, and they are really their own art form, you know, just like duck decoys are. Sometimes people often, the beautiful ones, they're usually carving to look like some type of fish. Sometimes they even carve them to look like sturgeon, but actually they're not really used to make the sturgeon think that it's something that they want to eat. It's usually the decoy is just used to get the sturgeon's attention. So you hang the decoy down in the water. It's weighted with lead. And the more eye-catching it is, really, the better I think it works. So it's really to bring the sturgeon up from the bottom of the lake closer up to the hole so that it can be speared.
I've seen folks, I think probably the most common thing that I've seen is PVC pipes you know, like about this big, kind of cross-hatched. I saw a couple large coffee cans sort of soldered together. But I think we, Kathy, you and I both know Mary Lou Schneider,
right?
Who's the sister of Bill Campbell. Bill Casper,
yep.
Pardon me. Both these guys are legendary in the Sturgeon for Tomorrow movement. But both Mary Lou's an artist, and she's got, I would say, literally hundreds of these just beautiful sturgeon decoys. She and her brother Bill actually had the opportunity to display some of their items in the Smithsonian several years ago. So if you ever have a chance to see a collection of these things, it's I would call it kind of folk art. I mean,
definitely.
It's really kind of neat.
And actually, yeah. Bill Casper's shanty, he's recently donated to the Wisconsin Historical Society. It's made to look like, it looks like a Green Bay Packer helmet.
That's cool. We had Mary Lou paint one with the Visitors Bureau Fond du Lac logo. So we have our own sort of honorary shanty too.
And Dave and Augusta make some, I know for a fact, and personally can attest to his ability to make musky lures, and I wouldn't be a bit surprised if he also has created some of those lures for sturgeon as well.
Sure.
They're really beautiful. And in your book, you have some photos of some nice decoys.
Yeah, we have some historical ones. We have some of Mary Lou's. We have some from a couple of other, George Schmidt, some other decoy carvers as well.
George Schmidt, I think he's legendary in the decoy world.
Well, let's go back to the event, Sturgeon Spectacular, in our last minute here. Tell us again what we can expect to find at it.
Sure. Well, from Friday night to late Sunday afternoon, there's just stuff. Stuff is happening. It's all fun. It's family-centric, or as I said, you could just come and have a great guys' weekend or a romantic getaway. There's going to be specials throughout the community. We're doing a downtown tavern special. We're not calling it a pub crawl because that sort of alludes to the fact there might be a lot of public drinking, but there will be adult beverage specials in the downtown area. The best way to sum it up is we'd love folks just to go to fdl.com/SS. That's fdl.com/SS.
And it's, again, the dates are...
We start on, what's that, the 9th is Friday. 10th is Saturday, and the 11th of February is the Sunday, and there's events every day, all throughout the day, throughout the community.
And I just like to throw in that the night before, Thursday the 8th, which is kind of an unofficial
that's right.
kickoff, I'll be part of a panel with two artists from the University of Minnesota Duluth and one of my co-authors, Fred Binkowski, to talk about sort of the art and science of sturgeon.
And that's going to be at Thelma, right?
Yep, that'll be at Thelma.
And when is that again?
That will be the exhibit. Their exhibit opens at 6, and then our panel discussion is at 6:30, and then a social hour.
That's right, and that's at Thelma Sadoff Center for the Arts. It's the heart of Fond du Lac's downtown district. Stunning building in and of itself, and we'd love folks to come.
Well, thank you both so much for being with us today. I really appreciate it. Kathy Schmidt-Klein and Craig Molitor, and they've got a heck of an event going at the Fond du Lac in Fond du Lac for the Sturgeon Spectacular, the 9th through the 11th. Thanks for listening. Stay with us.